Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley, and of course, this is the Sunday night edition of Guardianship Abuse on True Squad Radio. And what I'm trying to do here is try to cover all the bases, and tonight we are going to be talking with Jonelle Grace. And Jonelle has gone through quite an ordeal here recently, and we had talked here a couple weeks ago, and she was concerned that possibly there was a hearing scheduled that she hadn't been informed of, and with a little footwork and checking with the court system, Jonelle found out there was, in fact, a hearing. So she attended that, and things went downhill from there. So I want to go ahead and bring Jonelle on this evening and just let her tell her story of what's happened to her in the probate system out in the state of Washington. Jonelle, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Jonelle. We had talked, you and I, quite extensively after my appearance on Pastor Butch Pugh's show here about a month ago. And, Jonelle, you had contacted the show at that time, and then we spoke afterwards about the situation you're in. Can you give everybody just a little bit of background of how you came to be in this situation and what has happened since?
Well, first I want to thank you, Marty, because you have been a godsend to me, and the support and the advice that you've been giving me, I wouldn't have been able to do a lot of things without your knowledge. So I really want to thank you from the depths of my heart, because you're doing an angel's work, and you're my guardian angel, and I want people to know how special you are.
Oh, well, thank you.
My mother died, I found her dead, September 14th, 2010. Mind you, she wasn't my biological mother. I was raised in the foster care system, and later on in years, a few years ago, we met, and she embraced me as her daughter. I was involved in every aspect of her life, and we got very, very close. We met in church, and she was in a lot of trouble. Her husband had dementia, and her son is mentally ill with bipolar and schizophrenia. And we had several meetings with hospitals and doctors, and she included me in every aspect of decision-making. Well, when she made up her will, she gave me instructions on what to do, and I asked her if she trusted the people. They were her in-laws with such personal and intimate details. And she told me yes, and that she warned me to work with them. And I said okay, because I didn't question her. Well,
okay, Jonelle, can I ask you how old the son is now?
He's 49.
He's 49, okay.
He turned
and
49
he is,
on June 18th.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he is in an institution, is he not?
Well, this week he's been in a place called Western State Hospital, and he's been there since July 22nd, 2010. but he's been recently moved to a group home, a state group home, called Stillwater.
Okay.
And so when I found my mother dead, the in-laws and the executor flew up here. I asked them not to go into my mother's home. I told them that I didn't want anybody going to my mother's home until we talked to the attorneys. But it started with them, and neighbors were calling me saying they were leaving with suitcases they never came with. There were several items that were stolen, and before we even picked a casket out for my mother. So from the very beginning, people started stealing from her. And then it went right into the attorneys that she had hired to execute the will. Their name is Johnson Nagayich.
Okay.
And so then a lot of things, I tried to tell people what was going on. The executor wanted to put everything in a dumpster and just throw all my mother's things out. She had a lot of nice things in her house. And I asked her if it was all right if I donated things to charity, to homeless people and churches. And they told me yes. And so I had a witness with me, and because I didn't want to see my mother's things just discarded. But they told me that was in the will that my mother wanted the house sold. Well, I later found out that that wasn't true. The will was never sent to me. And it was supposedly was sent to a different address. This has happened on a couple occasions where pertinent information should have gotten to me, but it just conveniently got to another address.
And this happens, Janelle. This happens all the time. We hear this repeatedly in case after case, is that things are somehow winding up at the wrong address. Now, personally, I would think that there is a legal responsibility here to make sure that the correct address is used. And when you see this happen repeatedly, I don't think you can say it's an accident. So when you, did you confront them about this? Did you ask them about
I had several meetings with Andrea Lee through Johnson Nagayich, and she was giving me the runaround several times. She wasn't explaining the contents of the will. And mind you, they sent all these documents. They got it to Greg, which is his name, in the state hospital, and they flooded him with a barrage of complicated issues without anybody explaining anything to him. They just sent him copies. And then he would call me and confront me, what does this mean? And I had to do my best to explain to him. But I felt the attorney should have done it.
I have a question.
Sarah Harvey's on with us, Janelle, and she co-hosts this show with me quite often. She has a question for you.
Why are they taking the documents to the son? I mean, if he's in a group home and all of that, and he's not competent, why are they even doing that?
Well, they told me by law it had to be done because he and I were the only sole beneficiaries in the will. And so with everything that was being done, they said he had to get copies and be informed. But I felt it was a little impersonal because he was in such a fragile state. Mind you, after his mother died, this was the last of his immediate family. He has nobody else but me. The rest of the family and the in-laws don't want anything to do with him.
Oh, wow.
My mother put it in the will that she wanted me, I promised her that she wanted me to continue to care for him. But the attorneys told me that she didn't have any right to him because she wasn't his guardian.
She as his mother had no right to him?
Yes.
Now, wasn't she paying all of his bills, Jonelle?
No, he's on SSI, but she took care of mostly everything, you know, of his adult daily living things. Whatever he needed, she took care of. And we were very involved in his life and his care plan.
Okay.
Was he living at home?
Okay.
Well, yes, he lives in a group home.
When did he enter the group home?
Just this week.
Oh, just this week.
He's been in the state hospital since July of last year.
Okay, but since your mom died, I mean, your mom took care of him, right? Up until she passed away?
Well, he was in a group home because Greg has a lot of problems. We understand that. He hears voices, and sometimes they tell him to do things like try to burn the house down and stuff like that. So it was advised that he be in a group home amongst the people that could possibly take care of him.
How long has he been in a group? How many years?
A little over 20 years, in and out. There was a time for 5 years that he lived on his own. And there was a time that he lived with his parents. And him and his mom were exceptionally close.
Okay. So what was his... Jonelle, what was the effect on him when his mom passed away? Did he become worse? What I'm trying to find out here...
I went up there, I took two pastors with me, and I asked that no one tell him what happened. I wanted to be the one to tell him. And so this was like 2 days after she died, and I found the strength to go up there. And so when I told him that his mother died, I broke his heart because he thought I came up to lie to him. And I asked him, I said, I need for you to look into my eyes. And do I look like I'm lying right now? And his mouth started quivering. Mind you, Greg doesn't show a lot of emotion. And the doctor immediately stuck a pill in his mouth. And after... I told him, and I sat with him for a while, and I told him that I would help him, that he wasn't going to be alone, and that I would be going down to Texas and taking his mother's body, and I had a private viewing for him up here in Washington so he could say goodbye to his mother. I didn't feel that I could take him to Texas and think that he was going to handle it well. So I did the best that I knew.
Okay, we have a
call.
Okay. We have a caller on from area code 808. Do you have a question or a comment for Jonelle? Hello? Apparently not. Go ahead, Jonelle.
So, it got worse and worse. And yes, Greg got worse. I told the hospital, is he talking about his mother? And they said, no, he's not approachable about that. And they were going to release him like a month after he found out his mother died. I begged them not to let him go. And I said, because you have to let this thing manifest itself. And I'd rather for him to be there protected so I can be out here taking care of things. Well, my predictions came true. And in a couple months, he went on suicide watch for over 7-8 weeks. And all he could remember when I would talk to him was my number. And that's all he could repeat. And I told him he could call me anytime. But that's all he could muster up saying. And all he wanted to do was stick a pin in his eye. And he wanted to go into a shelter and go somewhere and die. And
you've got an extensive background and training in dealing with psychiatric care and health aid in general. You have several credentials, don't you?
Yes, I have several certificates and training, extensive training from New York. I worked in a psychiatric hospital in the 70s, and then I worked in a transitional housing program to reenter people into society. I've been a CNA for over 12 years. I've been a mentor and an advocate for a lot of people that have mental health and legal issues. I have training in suicide prevention, de-escalation training, crisis intervention. And so,
your observations here that he should not have been turned out of this place under the circumstances. I mean, this didn't come from just some gut feeling. This actually came from all of your training, didn't it?
Yes, it came from my training because I have a gift of discernment, but I also have a lot of training. And I know Greg because my mother groomed us to lean on each other when she passed. I believe my mother knew she was dying. And it was really important to her. She took a couple years, 2 or 3 years, and involved me in every aspect of Greg's life and taught me how to treat him and what to do when he got in trouble. And so she spent many hours. We went to many hospitals because he's been in several hospitals. I've had over 45 to 50 visits with Greg during the times that I've known him. And most of the time, he's been in the hospital of some sort.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Janelle. There is a somewhat sizable estate attached to Greg, isn't there?
Well, for both of us, he gets 2/3 and I get 1/3. Now, mind you, my mother didn't have to leave me anything. I didn't ask her for anything. But he and I were the sole beneficiaries of the whole estate. Now, somehow or another, the attorneys have ripped that apart and say that the furnishings belong to Greg, and this belongs to Greg, and that belongs to Greg. But 1/3 of the estate is 1/3 of the estate. 2/3 of the estate is 2/3 of the estate. It doesn't differentiate who gets what. It says of the whole estate. But for some reason, they've been able to twist that around and say that the furnishings belong to him. Well, the furnishings are part of the estate. And so this was the beginning of my problem because the executor, Jeanette James Townsend, she told me to get rid of everything because it said in the will that my mother wanted the house sold. So it was only like 3 days after she died. And so I was just doing what she told me to do. She allowed her aunt to come up, who is a known thief. Her own sister wouldn't let her in her house. And she went through my mother's house. She stayed in there for 3 days by herself against my wishes. And she left with suitcases that she didn't come with. Neighbors sold her. And like my mother's wedding ring and mink stole and love her pendants and a lot of valuable things came up missing. And I confronted the executor, but then the attorney told me that my mother hired Johnson & Guides, told me they were now representing the executor. They weren't representing me and Greg as beneficiaries. They were representing the executor. Well, I had several meetings with them because I didn't understand why the executor was allowing things to happen the way they were happening. And they told me the executor could do whatever they wanted to do. And I said, but you're going to go and explain to Greg. You sent him a complicated will, and nobody gave him an explanation of what this meant. Well, they stole and they stole. They lied, they made up stories, and they allowed the executor to do exactly what she wanted to do. She came here and rented Cadillac Escalades. She stayed in hotels. And mind you, right now she has not sent a bill as executor. She told my attorney that she found loose money. So apparently they found money in my mother's house, and she used that to pay herself.
Oh, and my.
So whatever they took belonged to Greg and me. But nobody thought that was anything wrong with that.
With that executor, how was that executor appointed?
She was appointed through my mother. She was like a niece. Through my mother's husband. My mother thought she was doing the best thing because she had two adult homes down in California, and possibly it was a possibility that we talked about that maybe we would send Greg down to one of her adult homes. But when I talked to the executor about this, she said, I would never have Greg near me or my family. We don't want him. We don't want nothing to do with him. And I had to...
Janelle, is she still the executor?
No. I hired an attorney called Beth McDaniel. And when I hired Beth McDaniel, I hired her on contingency. And immediately, when I told my story over the phone, they said that I needed all these guardian ad litem, that Greg needed all these guardian ad litem. And she immediately started bringing in all these different people. And I didn't understand why they all needed to be part of the probate process. She said, by law, it had to be done. The things had already been dispersed out of the house because I was told in January that they were coming down and they were going to sell the house as is. And so I started getting rid of things per her instructions. I found out later that she had no right to give me those instructions. Now they're trying to blame me that I took things out of my mother's house, and they lie and say there was a court order for me to bring things back. Well, this was months later. But this guardian litem, all of a sudden now, makes decisions for Greg. Now, he, at this point, was never ruled incompetent. I need to say that. He was never, by court, all these years, ruled incompetent. And so I tried to keep him abreast of everything was going on. I tried to protect him, and I tried to let him know the truth, that his mother left him money, left me money, and left me a care for him. But they distorted everything with him. So now the guardian ad litem, when I asked my attorney if I could become executor, she told me, yes, I could be executor. She didn't prepare me or prep me of what to do. She let me go into court, and everybody, the guardian ad litem and my attorney, and they made a $10,000 bond on me. Well, they never told me I had to post a bond. So when I got the executorship on April the 6th, I said, what does that mean? How would you let me walk into court like that? Because I'm on Social Security. And she said, well, you either have to come up with $10,000 cash or your credit has to be good. Well, why didn't you tell me this? We talked about this 6 weeks or more before all this happened. She said, well, there's ways to get around things. But see, all this was to stretch out and to build the estate more money. Then I found out all I had to do was come up with $100 and post a bond. I could have done that. But I didn't find this out until months later. But they made all this extra work and billable hours to go on and to go to court and get my bond waived. Well, they could have done that at court. When the judge asked if she was bondable, the attorney stood there and lied and said, yes, she is. Well, I didn't give her instructions to do that. But she did anyway. And she said, well, you just have to trust me. So now there's more hours. When I tried to go to court and try to get explain to the judge that I couldn't post the bond and could I get that reduced, they called and threatened me that I better not go to court and that that wasn't my position as executor. I have no right to talk to the judge. I cannot contact the judge. They will not talk to me. And this started a row of lies and intertwined with all kinds of deception. And then it led to a total character assassination on me in the end.
Wow. Something I wanted to get to for sure this evening, Janelle, is now here when we spoke here a couple weeks ago, you were curious at that time as to whether or not you felt like some hearings had been scheduled. You weren't sure. And we spoke on that Friday, early that Friday morning. And
yes,
you said you were going to the courthouse, and sure enough, you found out that on Monday morning, they were having a hearing. But your attorney, you really had to pressure the attorney you have now to admit that this was going to happen, right?
Greg received the paperwork of the hearing, and Greg received this guard, because they told me that I had to applied to be Greg's guardian. They said that was the only way I could look out after him. Later on, I found out that all he needed to do was sign me medical and legal power of attorney. But then this could have prevented thousands of dollars being built to the estate. but they told me that Aguirre had to be assigned to grave. Well, when all this was coming to a head, and all these, both attorneys, Beth McDaniel, and them, we came into blows because Candace Zygar, who was Greg's guardian and allowed him to become a guardianship, she went up to him on his birthday and told him that sometimes I'm mean and sometimes I'm nice and that I shouldn't be representing anybody. He was quite upset about this. And he told me, if I can't trust Joe and I can't trust him, who can I trust? And I told Greg, the best I knew how, that you have to talk to God about it. I said, but I've never done anything to hurt you. I've brought you money. I've brought you food. I've brought you a coat. I've paid for underwear and clothing for you so you could be clothed while you were been in the hospital. I'm not asking you for that money back. But you have to understand that everybody don't mean you good. So 24 hours later, I wrote the guardian ad litem. I told her to pick on somebody else, pick on me, but he was off limits. Well, they used that against me. They used that as an exhibit to say that I was vitriolic and that I was steely and that I was hardened and that I wasn't flexible. And they used my emails protecting Greg against me to get a professional guardianship firm to handle him, so he has to pay.
Exactly, and that's what that was all about too. They ripped you up, tore you up, and said all these things simply to get access to the court and get access to that estate. Janelle, at what point in all of this was Greg declared incompetent?
He was declared incompetent when I found out through your urging and to go court. But my attorney didn't even turn over the documents to me until the 12th hour. And I had called you, and I couldn't get the court to make my rebuttal and my response because it was too late. And they
all of this had gone on, all of this other activity had gone on, and he had not, at that point, been declared incompetent. He didn't get declared incompetent until just here recently, correct?
He didn't even come to court. He didn't understand what was going on. I finally explained to him on Sunday night, Greg, I need you to come to the prison. I need for you to listen to me. I need to know if you want me to fight for you. And when he said, well, what are they trying to do to me? I said, Greg, they're going to take all the money that your mother left you. They're going to strip you of all your God natural rights. You will have no rights. They will make a decision about everything, every aspect of your life. You can't do anything without them approving. And if they want to force you to take medication, they can do that also. Finally, I got him to understand, and at the 12th hour, he said, will you fight for me? And that's when I went to court the next day. When I went to court, when I walked in, my attorney was sitting with all these guardians alive. They were all laughing and talking.
No.
And
Now, who's your attorney at this time?
His name is Gerald Robison, R-O-B-I-S-O-N.
Okay, and what court was this in?
This was in Tacoma, Washington, in Pierce County. What happened was when my old attorney, Beth McDaniel, she appointed Candace Zygar to be a guardian ad litem through Pierce County. But in actuality, Greg was a resident of King County. So she made a huge mistake by having her appointed as guardian ad litem in a different county when Greg was only there in capacity of the hospital.
Okay.
So that was a big mistake. When I met this new attorney, I told him what was happening. He told me this goes on quite often of attorneys bilking the estate so beneficiaries don't have anything. When I hired him, he was all gung-ho, and he was ready to go to bat for me and Greg. But something happened when Linda Burbank and Candace Zygar talked to him. A truck got stolen out of my mother's house off her property. And Linda Burbank wanted to use that as me to be removed as executor. Well, I reported to the police. I did all that I had to do. I don't live there. But in their report, they say that I wanted to live there and I didn't want Greg to come. I don't want to live in a house where I found my dead mother at. What I wanted to do all along was fix it up and rent it out to elderly people so I could help them not go through what I am going through right now and be exploited by these predators, and to help them handle their affairs and so they wouldn't be eaten up by attorney fees.
Okay, let's kind of recap here. So what has happened is you've gone through all of this stuff with the and the brother the whole time has a history of being in an institution or a group home. And at no time until just here this last week had he been declared incompetent. And so all of this has gone on, the sale of the house, the theft of the property, the relatives coming in and availing themselves of whatever they wanted, and they suddenly decide that he needs a guardian.
Yeah, he needs 49 a guardian. Years old?
Huh?
Yeah.
He's 49 years old, and then they just decide he's incompetent.
Yeah, because they told me that had to be done, but I found out later it didn't have to be, that Greg just needed to sign medical power of attorney over to me, and that's all it had to be done. And mind you, the guardian didn't investigate the people that I gave her, from family members to friends that knew of his situation and the situation of my mother and her wishes. They went to other attorneys that I was disputing their charges. So they used attorneys that I was feuding with about the excessive amount of charges, and so of course this is how they made their report. They even disclosed why my attorney quit. So they breached a attorney confidentiality, and it's written up in the report, and the judge didn't see any problem with that.
Yeah, this is just it. I'm hearing this all the time, that these people, these guardians are forced upon these people. These are grown adult people. Now, my problem in this whole thing, Janelle, is this, that here's this man who has this history of mental illness. At no time was he competent to be making any decisions about anything. The idea that they were actually sending him papers meant that he could have been in that courtroom at any time. He could have spoken to the court. They had to declare him incompetent to shut him up, to make sure, like, he couldn't talk. He couldn't say anything. But he wasn't, from what I've seen of this, he wasn't competent. Like you say, they sent him documents he couldn't understand. He had no capacity to understand. And so they were sending them to him because at that time it was the easiest way for them to gain access to the estate. And once they figured out what the estate
and to cause a rift between him and me. So if they could divide our bond, if they could divide our love for each other, then because he has the bulk of the estate. So they wanted him. They didn't want me. I was a little pawn.
Right.
I was a little fish in a pond. Their whole agenda was to get what he was left. I haven't been ordered to sell the house yet, but my attorney, as he says with everything, that I will be forced to sell the house because the guardian will say so. So now all these people that have been telling me that I could keep the house, and they go back on their word because I wanted to at least put my trust funds every month. So from the money that the attorneys took, that we could draw an income off that money from the, and because the sale, the house went depreciated from $295,000 2 years ago, and this guardian litem, Linda P. Burbank, had one of her associates do a comparison appraisal for the area, and which was a conflict of interest, but she used the person that she listed on her website as a real estate agent, and they did a comparison pricing of the house, and it was appraised at $185,000. When she looked inside the house and saw that there was a lot of damage in the house, because my mother couldn't keep up things towards the end, and she laughed and thought it was funny, and she handed me an envelope and she said, "Oh, you won't even get the price that I even got right now. But don't open this until I leave." When I opened it, it said $185,000. So now we're going to take a $110,000 loss. I've been paying out of my own pocket to keep up the yard and to help do a lot of things at the house. And I've had people helping me. I've had to pay out my Social Security money. My lawyer has given me a hard time to give me access to the funds so I can get the house in shape, so I can get as much money as I possibly can get for it. But I don't even know what we inherited, if we can be told what we have to do. The will does not say
if it was me, I would have sold the house. Right, I wouldn't put a dime in it. They're going to take the house, Janelle. That's what they're after, is the land, the property. They really don't care about the house. The land is what has the value, and they're after that land. And if they can, you know, move the house at the same time, good for them. But the real interest is in the land. Now, when you went into court, and you're faced with this rude and arrogant judge, and this, you've got this guardian ad litem who has testified, as I understand it, for quite some time. She testified about all her credentials, and then she testified, did she not, that you were not competent to be his guardian?
See, the thing is that my mentor, who has been in my life for a long time, I used to work at the YMCA with her, and she was quality controller of 22 YMCAs, handling millions of dollars of budgets for many a year. Then she got offered a CEO position to head the YMCA in Hawaii. So she's got a degree in accounting. She has multiple years of experience. She's an elder at her church and is a treasurer. And I said, well, can she be Greg's trustee? Now, she was good enough to be mine, but she wasn't good enough to be Greg's because they needed a professional firm to handle him.
Because now, they know how to steal the money more efficiently. Yes, go ahead.
If something happens to Greg right now, they will get everything, whether they do anything or not. And that's not what the will states. But when I went into court, when I went into court, as I was trying to talk to the judge, I wrote up a paper. I brought all my credentials. I brought my mentor's credentials, because my attorney told me that as executor, you can appoint who you want to be Greg's trustee. Well, then he changed his mind and told me they wouldn't even consider her. I said, well, how do you know all these things and the court hasn't even set yet? He said, well, because she's out of town. And they want a professional firm, and what the guardian lightens want, they will get. So apparently these guardian lightens have a lot of power. When I tried to talk to the judge, I didn't even get 30 seconds. And the attorneys, all three of them, the two guardian lightens and my attorney, stood there laughing at me. And the judge...
And what was that attorney's name again, Jonelle?
Gerald Robinson, Linda P. Burbank, and Candace Zeiger.
They were laughing?
They laughed at what I was trying to... I wrote out everything in paper. I brought all my credentials. And because they put him back into a program, the PAC program, where... me and my mother had him pulled out of this program because of their lack of ethics. They were billing the state for counseling hours when they were just taking him to Wendy's or Starbucks. And they said that was counseling. And so we had them pull them all, and they put him back in the program that was over-medicating him, and now they put him back into the place where he had his two breakdowns last year. So they sent him back into the den. He's not going to make it.
I can't believe this. Did you confront your attorney there in the courtroom over his behavior?
Yes, I did. When I said... You know, it was a done deal, Jonelle. He said it was done, and you have to accept it. I said, but you told me other lies. You told me that there was other ways to get around this. I had wanted Candace Zeiger terminated because my attorney, Beth McDaniel, kept telling me all these different timelines, like 45 days, 60 days, that she was supposed to make her report. But she was within over 4 months, and until she found out that I was going to have her dismissed, then all of a sudden, then I'm the inmate, and then I was no good for Greg.
Oh, well, it's strange how that works. I just can't... When you presented your credentials to the judge, what was her response?
She said, I'm well qualified to look out after Greg. I said, I've got certificates, I can show you different programs that I was instrumental of getting him off the program because his best interests weren't being looked after. I have been involved in his life for years. She said, it doesn't matter. These are people that are professional and can make better decisions than you.
Yeah, these are the people who know how to steal the money.
And I said to her, are they going to prevent him from going back to Western State? Or are they that good that Greg wants to come out and die? Are they going to prevent him from going back to the state hospital? She said, well, I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, Jiminy Christmas. I tell you,
what a mess.
Yeah, yeah. And what's getting me in all of this is all of this stuff has happened and gone on, and it was just here in the last couple of weeks that they actually declared him incompetent in all of this
without
time, sending
him
papers
there.
To him.
Without him
yeah.
being there.
Yep.
Then my attorney went to court last week, I found out. I told her I couldn't make it. And I had told him this over 2 or 3 weeks prior to this court case. And it was supposed to be approval for all these other attorneys' fees. Well, I showed him some bills where they were padding and doing work that they didn't do, and that they were double billing me and Greg. They would bill Greg for a meeting that I had with them. I told him that I said, but then my ex-attorney sent Gerald Robinson her final bill, but they never showed it to me. And so as executor, I can't dispute. They didn't even give me a chance to dispute the bill. They just went into court and got her fees approved, over $10,000. Now, mind you, this estate is a little over $300,000, and it's drained now. It's totally drained behind all these attorneys.
Oh, my God. And I don't even know what to say, Janelle. It's just, if it was me, see, I'd go after that attorney. That behavior in the courtroom is so out of line, is so disrespectful and unprofessional, and I can't believe that anybody's out there that is this callous, but they are. They're all over the place. They are absolutely all over the place. And don't you wonder how these people go home and sleep at night? I did something like this to another person, I couldn't sleep.
Well, no, after they laughed at me, and so my friends have been doing everything they could, because I re-shut down. I just didn't care. I really just been staying home with my blinds closed, and I barely go outside. I barely can be around people. I don't even want to talk to this attorney. Now, he writes me a letter on Friday. And it wasn't enough that they tore me and my brother apart. Now they want me removed as executor. I don't know on what grounds, because they're saying because I gave things away that I shouldn't have given away. But I was told to do that by executor. And mind you, I have witnesses that are privileged to all these conversations. I've documented things and emails. I've confronted everybody, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, for what they want, it's not good enough that they stripped me and made fun of me and laughed at me. Now, they want to just tear me totally, completely down. And my attorney's all right with that.
Well, see, what I think I'm going to do this next week, Janelle, and is I'm going to find some time, and I want you to send me this attorney's phone number in an email. Just send it to me in an email. And I'm going to contact this attorney and ask him if he'd like the time to come on the show and explain his actions and why he did not defend you and why he stood laughing at you with these other people. I want to give him the opportunity to come on and explain himself. And, in fact, I want to contact several of these people and see if I can't get them to come on. I'm sure they won't. Predators are like that. They hide in the dark. Kind of crap they are. But we'll give them the shot anyway. And let's get them on here.
I've been asking a friend of mine told me, Jonelle, you know you have the right to see all correspondence pertaining to this case. I said, what?
Yep.
With anything that was written about this case, and especially you as executor now and beneficiary, you have a right to do that. I have asked both attorneys to help me go to court and subpoena all their event logs and their administrative logs. You just mm-hmm. because I'm told that they can take erase it off the computer, but the server saves everything. Nobody
yes.
would do that. They tell me I don't have no right to do that. That I don't have no
yes,
right.
Yes, you do. And let me tell you something. That file that attorney has does not belong to him. It belongs to you. I found this out in a case I was involved in some years ago. That file in that attorney's office and everything in it belongs to you. And when I approached the attorney at that time and said, I want my file, he says, well, we charge 25 cents a page for copies. I said, well, if you can afford it, please, by all means, pay yourself. The law says that file belongs to me, so if there's copies to be made, that's your expense.
I
it's not mine.
Proof. I got proof that I asked Beth McDaniel, that I asked Gerald Robinson. I've asked them several times to give me copies. The only way I knew there was a court date is because I pressed my attorney. When I went to court, like I told you I did, I looked it up, and I wanted to see, I put my question to, so is there anything going on next week I need to know about? Well, it was his assistant that answered the question and said, oh, there's a court date for guardianship on Monday. But the paper, the report that this Candace Zygar lied and made up all kinds of lies about me, did a terrible character assassination. They didn't, Greg had it, my brother had it, because he was going off on me, saying, oh, you ain't even got an attorney to represent you no more, your attorney quit. They wrote all this in the report and told the reason why my attorney quit. My attorney quit because I confronted Candace Zygar about what she told my brother. And I have that
okay.
right to do that.
Yes.
My attorney said, now you won't get nothing. And Candace was see to that. Then the next thing you know, Candace writes, I'll take the reins from here. And so she did a total character, her and Linda P. Burbank did a total character assassination on me.
And you know what gets me is they just allow this to go on in court time after time. These are unfounded accusations and charges. They are never proven out. I think I've read statistics somewhere that in only 1-2% of the time do these things ever amount to anything, but they levy these charges at family members. Absolutely, as you say, do a character assassination. Now, if you got on here on this show tonight and called that attorney, that worthless attorney you had, everything but a child of God, he could sue you for slander.
Yeah.
And, but they can get in these courtrooms and make the most outrageous charges and claims that have absolutely no bearing on
my
truth.
Attorney stood
trash.
There and said that he agreed with the guardian ad litem's recommendation.
Oh,
so he me
well, did
out.
He agree to give you a refund then? At that point,
no.
I would turn right
he,
around and said, "You owe me my money back."
He sent me a bill for times of meetings that I was never there. So he's doing the same thing the other attorneys are doing.
Jiminy
Christmas. He's billing me for hours that I wasn't even in a meeting with him. I wasn't there.
Ah, and you know, it's he who claims must prove. That's an axiom of law. He who claims, I'd make him prove you were at those meetings. I'd make him prove those claims. He's the one making the claim. He has to prove that. How can he prove you were there if you were not?
Well, I'd like to know is how much help I can get to be able, I know at the bottom of this, Miss Marty, that those emails from all those different attorneys, because even the judge, when I got appointed executor, she said, you people have made this case so confusing, and it's not a large estate. And by the time you're through with these people, they won't even get anything they inherited. And that's what the judge and my own, they said this, and the judge said this. She said, because there's so many hands in the pot, she said, we can't even keep up with who you're bringing in next.
I just hate this. I think, you know, we've got to look at what we can do beyond this radio show. One thing I am going to do, Jonelle, is when this evening is over, I'm going to download this to an MP3 and the Guardian ad litem. I'm going to send it to everybody and get the word out that, you know, you guys may have gotten away with this, but people know. People know. And I think that's the best thing we can do here is expose these damn people. Call their names, tell what they did. The way they're getting away with this is there's no coverage of it. Nobody talks about it. You can't go to the Bar Association. You can go and file a complaint. It goes in the trash. They're not going to take that. This is a system of what they call payrolling. That's why so many attorneys jump into it. And we've got to work hard. Sarah, have you got any suggestions, any...
She needs to get her story on the NASCA blog and on the NASCA website because there's a lot of people going through it reading the horror stories.
Yeah.
Yes, been emailing Elaine Renoir. Been emailing her, and tonight I'm going to download. I wrote my story on NAGSA, NAGSA. I wrote my story, but then she wants me to officially join them because they have what they call an e-group. And so I can converse back and forth. Last week was so hard for me. I mean, I've had police at my house checking on my welfare. I was so weak and I was so beaten down that I didn't even want, I just wanted to go to sleep and never wake back up.
Yeah,
and
a lot
so,
of victims do that, Janelle. You know, you just have to get your strength back. You have to rest, take a few days, take a few weeks, whatever it takes. But don't let them get away with it.
No, by the grace of God, I got a beautiful sister. I got a beautiful mentor. And there are a lot of people holding me up when I can't do it myself. And Miss Marty is one. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen out of all this. Really, the money or nothing. Now they want to fight with me about setting up a trust fund. They say, how are you going? What do you want to set up a trust fund for when we know there's going to be nothing in there? It's just more expenditure.
Well, it is, but I can tell you why they want to do it. They want to set the trust fund up is because it'll be a way for them to deflect taxes. See, they'll charge the trust fund, and that's non-taxable. Okay, the way they're going to do it, that's non-taxable. So, but that's why they want to. That'll make you liable for all taxes due on the money that's in that fund and withdrawn from it. That's why they want it.
Oh, that's right, Marty.
Yep.
But because I'm on Social Security and I have a caretaker and I have fibromyalgia. I'm in a lot of pain 24 hours a day. So now this, I'm in a big flare-up. So it's horrible.
Yeah.
I get so stiff because stress does is it activates it.
Yes.
And so no matter what I do, I can take baths, I can sit quietly, I have to sit through this pain. And I have medication, but it doesn't do anything, it doesn't touch it. But mostly my heart is broken. My heart is completely broken. Because I didn't know that this was, these were a den of snakes. I didn't know that people did this.
Most people don't, Jonelle.
Oh.
And the normal person wouldn't do it.
And a lot of people don't believe that it's happening. Nobody believes it's happening until it happens to them.
It's happening. And it's going to continue to happen. That's the basis of the HIPAA laws. When they made these HIPAA laws, they took families' rights away from their children, aunts, uncles, grandparents. And so they have a right to step in and say, you don't know what you're doing. We do. Now, give us your help.
And well, see, and that's just it. People think this HIPAA law is to protect the patient. And the HIPAA law was not to protect the patient. It was to allow these predators access and to cut the family out. And their prime excuse, Sarah, God knows you've heard it plenty of times, is it would violate your HIPAA rights. They don't have to tell you because it would violate the patient's HIPAA rights. And it's how they withhold information. It's how they take these people to the cleaners. It's an access route for everybody from hospice to adult protective services to whatever agency is needing money and funding is going to hit that HIPAA law and gain access to what's happening and what you're doing. At any time, Jonelle, did Adult Protective Services enter into this?
No, because, see, he was in state hospital. I had several meetings. One time I went up there and they tore these people up at Western State. They started talking about, we know about your third in the will, and you need to stay away from Greg. They almost call me a gold digger. They pretty much said that all I'm out for is the money. And I was coming to take him Christmas shopping. It was pouring down rain. And these people said, Greg, he doesn't like it when you touch him. What are you talking about? I might touch him on the arm. But see, Greg, he does these things. But people might be alarmed because a lot of times he doesn't like my tone of voice. But he didn't like his mother's tone of voice. He has learned to use and manipulate the system. But at the end of the day, he knew who he could call, which is his mother and me. And so, yeah, Greg makes comments like that. I don't take it personal. I mean, you know, if he doesn't have his way or he thinks, but see, all these people are all up in his face, tell him so many things. And in his mind, if you've got a degree, then you're somebody. And so, you know, he always asks me, are you rich? And I say, no, why you ask me that? He said, because you're always doing everything. You took my dad to Texas. You took my mom and buried her in Texas. You're always bringing me things. And I said, great, God does that, not me. I just am able to keep my word that I promised your mom. We finally got a connection the night before we went to court. I almost went by to get him, but even the nurse, they said that Greg doesn't hug me. Greg didn't hug his mother. He just lost his family. He has nobody. Right now, Greg don't feel like hugging nobody. But she made a statement on the report that all he talks about is the coat that I bought him. And that's all he's interested in, is what I can do for him. That's not Greg. They twisted everything from the hospital to the attorneys. it's just been horrendous. And, if
and the thing is, these
my
people
sister,
didn't go out. And...
My sister warned me to pull out a long time ago. But you see, Miss Murray, when I give my word, so who you got? I was raised in group homes, foster homes, and institutions. I'm well aware of the whole system. I've been groomed and raised in it. And so I know what they're capable of doing. All that, they can take all your rights away. And this is not a democratic society no more. It's not.
No.
Because they can come in and say, oh, well, we heard that you want to take your life, and you know, you got to come with us. And they can take you and dope you up and do whatever they want to do to you. And nobody can protest that.
No, and it is happening across the country. Janelle, in doing all of this, that interview I did on Rents here a while back pertaining to guardianship abuse has absolutely gone around the globe. And I've heard from people in England and France and Germany and Belgium, New Zealand, Australia, Newfoundland. I've heard them, and particularly Australia. Apparently, the same process is at work in all of these countries, so I'm assuming it's at work around the world for the most part. This is a systematic looting of the elderly. They are liquidating everything, taking everything.
Marty, they're going after the kids now, too.
Well,
yes.
In this case, we're disabled. Me and my brother, I'm disabled because of my fibromyalgia. He's disabled because he has a mental condition. So they pick on people that they know are fragile.
They're vulnerable.
Yes. Greg, Greg will never see a dime of what his mother left him.
No. The lady in Australia that I've been communicating with said that it's so bad over there that people are actually, they have become terrified. And she said as they approach the age of 60, she said they're now moving in with their children. They're converting all their assets to their children or maybe friends or whoever it is. But they're absolutely, these people are living in terror. We're going to see that here in this country as this thing explodes and expands. We're going to see that very thing happen here in this country as estates are robbed, one estate after another. There again, I've written to senators, representatives in so many states. Most of them won't even respond, or they respond with, oh, things like this take years to change, which means we're not going to change anything. We're part of the system. And I am so sick of this government that will do nothing. And while this happens, they've been approached by so many people, victims, advocates, trying to get this stopped. And it just keeps getting larger. What I am afraid of, that as this moves along, that more vulnerable people like your brother are going to be preyed upon by this, what I call the predator class. And even if they don't have an estate, Janelle, even if there's no estate, they're just a huge cash cow in the system. They can milk Medicare, Medicaid. When hospice enters in, they used to be just for, like, end of life, when people, you know, they were there for the end of life. They were all volunteers. Yeah, and now they're coming in and they're making decisions and testifying in court and accessing the estate right along with everybody else. So hospice is not any place I would recommend anyone go for help. If you
can
are
I
in the end of life,
because,
sure.
When they declared Greg incompetent, did the doctor come in and testify in court?
This attorney, Candace Igar, stood there for 12 minutes and told of her training these 4 points of how to decide a person's incompetent. So she doesn't have a medical degree. She has a law degree. But she's able, because of what they tell her and give her a certificate, she's able to discern that this person is competent. Now, mind you, a few weeks before this court case, because Greg called me and said, they're getting removed me, they're getting removed me. And I said, all right, Greg, I'll talk with your social worker, because he won't go anywhere without telling me. And so when I approached the hospital, when I went to the teen treatment meeting, they told me, because my lawyer lied to me. She said, well, they can't move him while guardianship is pending. And so I went up there thinking that I was armed with some information. And so I said, I understand that while guardianship is pending, you can't move, Greg.
No.
They said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? They said, Greg's never been ruled incompetent. He knows what he wants. He knows what he can make up his mind to do. And when I asked them for that a letter pertaining to that meeting, they refused to give it to me.
Can I ask you another question?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the social worker speak up and say something on his behalf? I mean, it's his social worker. She should have done something.
I don't know. It was just because these guardian ad litem are supposed to be speaking on his behalf. They're supposed to be representing Greg from the big bad wolf, which is me. I've been accused of stealing out of my mother's house, which I was instructed to do by the PR. Mind you, they flew up here, broke into my mother's house. I've got pictures. They took more stuff, and then they changed the locks on me. Now, this is what I inherited. I inherited a home and whatever investment she made. But now they broke in, and the attorney was all right with that. They said, oh, they hired a locksmith. When I asked them to produce that receipt, they couldn't produce it.
You didn't ever file a police report?
You know? I filed a police report. Yes, I did. But the police said, well, she's the executor. He said, I admit this looks wrong, and it is wrong. But they could always say that they were acting on Gregory's behalf.
Yeah.
See, at that point, I was the beneficiary. I wasn't the executor. But I've got no respect when I moved to be executor. I'm just a patsy.
Well, I'd be careful, and I would at this time resign as executor, because it sounds to me like there's a tax levy coming, and as executor, you'll be responsible for that. And don't let them con you into setting up a trust.
Yeah.
For a non-existent inheritance that they've already squandered, because what they're going to do is back in the money that was supposed to be there and then show it as an outlay, and then there's going to be taxes due on it. And if your name's on that trust, you're liable for those taxes. Don't you do it.
So you're, saying, because I rethought this, Ms. Murray. I talked to my mentor. I said, you know, I don't even want to be executor anymore. I've dug up information, I found checks and had it put into the account. The old executor did nothing. The water was shut off. I had to beg them to keep the lights on. This was all happened in April and May, but I had to beg people to please keep things on until I can get to work even further. But now I don't even see the reason for me to be executor. It doesn't really matter
to
me anymore.
Well, and then it's actually a trap for you at this point. Let one of these guardian ad litem, let them be responsible, because I say there's going to be taxes due on this. And that's what they're looking for as far as a patsy goes. I'm surprised that they even filed.
Luckily, I got taxes paid up through October, but my other attorney when the bill came, it was $4,950. She only paid up through October. She didn't pay the whole bill. I said, why didn't you pay the whole bill? There was $14,000 in the account. She said, well, I'll get a court order. If the judge orders me to pay, then that's when I'll do it. So now, as executor, they're not even following my directions. They have no respect.
No. But they got a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
And, you know, this is not what my mother, you know, and a lot of people, they work hard all their life. They wanted to leave their loved ones something to show, to make sure that they could, you know, carry on and care and have something. But they don't even want you to have that.
Mm-hmm. No, they
come
don't.
In
they
lie. They give you so many different excuses, and all the time they're billing you. They're doing an excessive amount of work. Like when I, just for example, when I discovered the truck was missing, I called the police, and it was stripped, and it was found somewhere in Berrien and taken to a tow yard. It took many calls for me to track it down. But when I talked to the police, he said, Jonah, we're not coming out there. I said, what are you talking about? The truck was stolen. He said, that's a 1986 Ford truck. He said, we don't make reports like that. I said, but you don't understand. I'm under scrutiny. Can you offer me anything? He said, I'll give you, I'll write it up as an incident that you reported. After that happened, Linda P. Burbank chose to come all the way from Tacoma, which is over 30 miles, to look to see if the truck was gone. Then she came over to my apartment without knocking on my door and saw that I had my mother's car, which everybody knew that I had my mother's car all along. Then she goes back to Tacoma and writes my attorney, I hope your client did her diligent job and called the police. Now, she could have emailed me. She's had my email. She could call me. But no, she made those billable hours. She didn't have to come. And the interesting thing is, last time she was at the house was in March. Then she says, now she's determined that the truck was towed out of the yard. The interesting thing about the thing, I don't know, because she said there were markings in the driveway that weren't there before. But you see, the
now, who said this, Jonelle?
This is Linda P. Burbank, guardian ad litem for the estate.
Also, now she's a expert on tire tracks and marks in your driveway, right?
Yeah, and then, but what she doesn't know is that my mother was Captain Blockwatch, or the neighborhood Blockwatch captain. But one guy, Rick McDermott, who's been helping me in fixing things in the house and everything, he didn't know what Linda Burbank said. But he said, there sure has been a lot of tow trucks in the area lately. So, you know, I don't know what that connection means. But she certainly knew that that truck had been towed.
My goodness, imagine that. I'm telling you, there's a lady there in the state of Washington. Her name's Janet O'Brien. She runs out of Seattle an investigative agency. She's a private investigator, and she has been working for quite some time on the death of Dorothy Griega out there and the theft of her estate. It was a multi-million-dollar estate by payrolling attorneys, corrupt judges, predatory guardians, and this lady has passed away, Jonelle, and they're still tapping the estate to benefit the ward. And but I think I should put you in contact with her and see if she can't do something here to help you out. if nothing else, to help you get papers and things like that, these documents that you want, because you should.
I think that for some reason, my spirit tells me that at the crux of everything is in those emails and it's in those text messages that they were all passing back and forth to each other. And I'm sure there will be it will show a conspiracy. I don't know how I know it, but I just know it.
Well, this is criminal racketeering is what it is. And it's happening in every state. We've just got a few minutes left here, Jonelle.
Okay.
I just wanted to thank you for coming on. I know this was difficult for you, and this has been a really, really emotionally strenuous time for you. We're going to keep following up on this.
No, somebody in the chat room said to subpoena the administrative logs.
Yes.
The attorneys, but you know, she can also file FOIA requests to get some of that information from the judges. From the judge's administrative office?
I can.
Okay.
Yeah, because I just did it. I filed a FOIA request to get the administrative...
what's it called? A FOIA?
Quarterly reports. They're called FOIA, F-O-I-L, Freedoms of Information Law.
Uh-huh.
That's a federal, isn't it, Marty? Yes.
Yes. And they have 20 days to respond.
Yes.
So I can go to the courthouse and file and for all these attorneys involved. But I need to see. I just know that there's something there. And, you know,
yes.
I don't know, because I never came into this about money. Anybody knows me. I was helping an elderly woman that was being attacked. They wanted to take her house when her husband had dementia and we had to put him in the hospital. And so I've always advocated for people. I didn't know what I was signing up for. I didn't know I was going to get beat up on in character assassinating like this. I just know in my heart of heart that I can tell other people and maybe help other people, because at this point, I don't really care about somebody, Miss Murray, because it's not, because it's what they've done.
Yeah, it's cost you too much personally. Yeah.
Yes. And now my sister, or my mentor, everybody, I have to check in with them. And, they monitor me, and they don't really want me dealing with it no more. They've taken over the emails, and they're writing my attorney. I don't even want to see him anymore.
Well, I can't blame you for that. We will be following up with you, Jonelle, and keeping track of what's happening here. And then I'll get on the phone this week and do a little digging myself. I want to thank you for coming on. Like I say, I know this was difficult for you, but I think it was a story that needed to be heard. And, Sarah, thank you for coming on again. You always fill in the blanks for me.
Thank you, Miss Sarah.
Jonelle.
Thank you, Miss Marty.
Yeah. And, Jonelle, I'll be talking with you very soon, okay?
And, Marty, what you do is so important, and I really love you, because you really helped me, make me feel like I wasn't just dreaming things up in my mind. You help put things in perspective, and you give me validation when I wasn't getting it. And so for that...
Yeah.
You are my angel, and I thank you.
Oh. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Jonelle. Like I say, we'll be in touch. Don't think this will be the end of it. It won't be.
Okay.
Sarah, we've got about 60 seconds left here. Did you have anything you wanted to throw in?
No, just God bless you, Jonelle. You're in
thank
my
you.
Prayers.
Thank you very much.
You've got support here, Jonelle. We're going to close for now, and we'll be back next week. I'm hoping to have a special guest on then, and I'm waiting to see what happens before I make an announcement. But so hopefully we'll have some good news to share next week. Thanks, everyone, for signing in and tuning in. I'm sorry about the chat room. I would like to go smack Blog Talk up, but they're too far away. We'll be talking to you next week. Sarah, thank you for joining me, and good night.
Good night.